This week, December 9th, 2014, on The Digital Story, a fantastic Panasonic Zoom, the iStick Blues, Leah goes to Mexico, all of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. I'm happy to be here with you this week. I have lots to talk about. I got my hands on one of those little iSticks, those flash drives for iPads, iPhones, and computers. I'm going to talk about that just a bit in the weekly update. Oh, a Panasonic Zoom, that turned my head. Okay, we're going to report on that. Yeah, see what's going on with that. Leah is going to join us today, and I've got lots of great feedback about that, and she has another question for us. So lots to do, so let's get to it. The weekly update. Should you get an iStick? And I started my reporting on this on The Digital Story. I'll have the link in the show notes. For those of you that haven't heard, the iStick is an interesting device. It's a flash drive, much in the sense of most flash drives that we use. You plug it into a computer via its USB port, shows up on the desktop, and you can copy things to it and move them around and all that. The thing that makes the iStick a little different is that there's a switch on top, and you slide it, and the USB connector goes away, and a Lightning connector appears, which you can plug into an iPad or an iPhone. You launch the iStick app. You have to use the app in order to read the iStick on the device. And you can do a few things, such as backup photos that are on your iPad or iPhone to the iStick and then copy them to your computer. And you can go the other way around too, so that sort of goes both ways. You can stream movies from the iStick onto your device, and it has a built-in video player that allows you to do this. And that's kind of interesting. Technically, you can play music, although it's one song at a time because the player isn't very good on the iStick. And what I'm inching toward is this notion that this device is actually really clever, really interesting, and just falls short enough to where I can't recommend it. And the reason why is because of the software. And I don't know why this happens. Why these developers that come up with a great little hardware gizmo, in this case, a device, a flash drive that you can put in your iPad and your computer, whether it be Mac or Windows, that is cool. That solves a problem that a lot of us who like iPad and iPhone computing have. So you do that, you get this thing made, it looks good, has all the clever little gizmos on it, and then you include subpar software with it. And I'll tell you, if anyone is picky about software, it is the Mac community and the iOS community. Because over the years, what we have seen on the software side is pretty good. We're used to a refined user interface. We're used to intuitive, either clicking or tapping, depending on what kind of device we're on. You know, that sort of thing where you're used to making a guess and it's right most of the time when using the software. And certainly we're used to something that looks fantastic. The software for the iStick is none of that. It looks like it was designed by the programmer, which is always a bad idea. Never, I know, you know, guys that code, I respect you. Believe me, I worked with the O'Reilly team for 9 years. I respect coding. I just don't think coders should design user interfaces. And that's what the iStick software looks like. So first of all, it looks terrible. It looks, in all honesty, like HTML1 from, you know, the late 90s or something. I don't know. It's just not attractive. Second of all, they give you the promise of doing something. Let's say, you know, one thing that I really wanted to do was, you know, take a bunch of photos, let's say out of Lightroom or Aperture, put them on the iStick, quickly, let's say before I head out the door, and then be able to play with them, you know, just look at them in a slideshow or swipe on my device, let's say when I'm on a plane or something, without having to copy them to my device. You know, I really try to stay away from putting too much content on my iPad or my iPhone. I like having spare space for when I do run into grabbing a bunch of pictures, or I want to shoot a time lapse, or I want to do a movie. You know, I want to have that space there. So if I want to do something, I can do it. And, you know, these days that includes being able to update the software itself on the device. You need a lot of headroom in order to do that wirelessly. Otherwise, you have to plug it into your computer. I don't want to do that. I just want it to work, and I want to be able to do what I need to do. So the whole idea of the iStick for me, this flash drive that goes both ways, is to relieve, you know, the flash storage on my mobile device. I want to be able to keep movies and music and photographs and stuff on there where I can just plug it into the device, launch an app, and play with it without actually having to copy it over. The potential is there. You can see it. You can feel it. You can taste it. And all they really need to do is get someone to revamp the software. Now, as part of the Kickstarter program, I paid $99 for a 16 gigabyte iStick. I got a case and I've got a little connector, which is pretty neat. It's a lightning connector that allows me to, you know, plug into my iPhone or my iPad without taking off the case. So that's really handy. Now I see them, I think the 16 gigabytes are, I don't know, I think they're like $129 on Amazon right now. I know I have the link in the review that I posted on the Digital Story for it. That much money for a 16 gigabyte flash drive, it really, you know, has to be pretty good for me to recommend it. So I wasn't able to give it a recommendation. That doesn't mean, however, that in your situation, you might not find it useful. If you're not adverse to the price per gigabyte, and by the way, you can go all the way up to, I know for sure, 64 gigabytes. I don't recall if you can go up to 128. I know you can go up to 64 gigabytes. If you don't mind paying a little bit extra compared to a regular flash drive to be able to plug it into your iOS device, and you feel like you can work around the software, then, you know, it's cool. Like, for instance, you can back up all the photos that are on your iPad onto it. Of course, the problem is that I wrote about in the article, you just see file names, you don't get thumbnails. So all the photos are there, which means that later on you can put them on your computer and do all sorts of stuff. But while you're in the field, you're not going to be able to really look at them or find what you need. I'll leave it up to you, but I thought it was interesting. I'll put a link to my formal review in the show notes of today's show. Right now, for me, I am carrying it around. Yeah, you know, because it is that sort of emergency backup I can jam right into my iPad or iPhone. It's just when I make recommendations for you, I'm sometimes a little bit more picky, as I should be, right? Okay, so let's get on. Let's do a snapshot right now. Today's snapshot is 17 pounds and counting. The reason why I named it this is because I have this project that I'm working on. I'm going to be traveling a lot in January. One of the stops that I've mentioned before, Havana, I can only take a maximum of 20 pounds on the plane in one bag. And then I have to check the other bag. Basically, everything that is valuable to me, everything that I'm going to use for my work, my laptop, my iPad, my cameras, all that has to fit in this bag. Now, on top of that, I'm not going to really have good internet while I'm in Cuba. And I should hit some Wi-Fi here and there, but generally speaking, I have to plan on being without it. I have to be pretty self-contained in 20 pounds or less. Right now, I just weighed my bag this morning. And this is the bag that I've been fiddling with and take this out, put that in, you know, over the last month. I'm at 17 pounds, 4 ounces. So I'm looking pretty good. I feel like right now I have everything in there that I need. And that includes things like the power adapter for the MacBook Pro, things that I could normally put in my luggage. But the luggage gets lost. I doubt I'm going to be able to find one of those very easily. The reason why I bring it up for Snapshot is because I just opened up this bag the other day, and this is the moment that sticks in my brain. I opened up the bag, I had the flap open, and I'm looking inside, and I'm seeing the laptop, 13-inch MacBook Pro, Retina display, seeing the iPad mini, I'm seeing two OMDs, five or six lenses, and I'm just looking at it, and I'm thinking, wow, if I have power one way or another, I can do practically anything, anywhere, with what's in this backpack that will slide underneath the seat in front of me on the airplane. And I just think that's incredible. I absolutely am amazed by this. This is something that I never take for granted. Probably every day I go, I am so thankful for the job that I have and the tools that I have to do my job and how cool the tools are, how much fun they are to use, and how I can just pick up and say, I'm going to go work in Starbucks today and just grab my bag, walk out the door, and just do whatever I need to be able to do. I just think this is a wonderful time. And even if I wasn't, you know, leaving the country, I'm going to do a test run for CES in Las Vegas. That'll be a good test run with this kit. But even if I wasn't leaving the country, just in my everyday life, being able to grab my bag when I leave the office, take it home, and maybe that night set up shop in the living room downstairs or something like that, and just have everything I need. I am just smiling about it. My snapshot is that feeling that I had when I opened up that bag and just saw everything that I needed, weighing 17 pounds, 4 ounces. That's cool. Let's move on. Speaking of cool tools, I want to talk about this. I wrote about it on Digital Story. I want to talk a little bit more about it. The Panasonic 35 to 100 millimeter f/4 to 5.6 zoom lens. Now, this is a little guy. I mean, this guy weighs something like 4.6 ounces. It's like 2 inches long. They designed it, Panasonic designed it for the GM series of cameras, which is their smallest mirrorless bodies, the GM1 and the GM5. They had already a standard zoom. I'm so happy they decided they needed this. They thought they needed a longer telephoto. Now, the way that this works out is that these 35 to 100, it's effectively, with a Micro Four Thirds sensor, a 70 to 200 zoom that weighs less than 5 ounces, and when retracted, it's 2 inches long. It's just crazy. So, okay, I see this thing that they designed for the GM5 and the GM1, and I go, that would look great on my OMD EM10. I think it would be very handsome on there. It was $397, which I didn't want to spend, but I couldn't stop myself. I couldn't resist because it was fitting a need. Now, I was earlier in Snapshot, I was talking about this 17-pound bag. Part of the reason why I have only a 17-pound bag and have six lenses is lenses like this that are amazing, that provide reach and weigh hardly anything. So I went ahead and got it. It has the Mega iOS image stabilization built into it. It has a manual focusing ring. It comes with a lens hood, and it's very handsome. Metal design on the body and metal lens mount. So I'm going, okay, it's super light. It's got a great focal length. It looks really good. It comes with a lens hood. Has image stabilization built in. It must not perform very well because it's $397, right? Which is, I know that's a lot of money, but that's not a lot of money for a 70-200 zoom that's, you know, really cool. So I put it on the camera. I put it on the OMD EM10. I go outside and I just start shooting. I shoot some kind of close-up shots. I shoot some shots where, you know, an object, a leaf, is isolated against the background. I shoot linear things like tree branches against a bright sky because I want to see what the chromatic aberration's like. So I'm shooting all this stuff, and both JPEG and RAW. And I bring it back inside the studio, load it up. I'm looking at in aperture on my MacBook Pro 15-inch Retina display at 100%, and I'm going, the lens is good. It was sharp and good contrast, hardly any distortion, hardly any chromatic aberration. It wasn't flawless, but it was much better than anything that I had shot that was that size at that price with that focal range. I am just really excited about it, and I have continued to shoot with it. Now, a couple interesting things about this. If you're a Panasonic shooter, you need the optical image stabilization that is in the lens, and you control that through the camera menu. If you're an Olympus shooter, you have the choice. You can either go with a sensor-based image stabilization, I mean, all Olympus cameras have, or if you want, you can switch to the optical image stabilization. And you do that through gear menu C, near the bottom there. And it'll say, lens priority or something like that. And then you can say, optical and choose the optical image stabilization. What's interesting about that is that when you press the shutter halfway and you have the regular image stabilization with Olympus, you hear the gyros moving in the camera. It's not loud. I mean, you hardly ever hear it except in a super quiet room. But it's noticeable when you switch to the optical image stabilization in this lens, you hardly hear anything. You can barely hear a little something inside the lens itself, but it's a fraction of what I was hearing in the body of the Olympus camera. There could be situations where you want that optical image stabilization, and in that case, you can switch to it. Now, what I did is that since I don't shoot a whole lot of video, I hijacked the video button on my EM10 and made it a My Settings 1. And on that My Settings 1, I set it up so that it's using the optical image stabilization. So then it's a toggle switch. Now I press the record button when I'm just in regular still photography mode, and it switches over to optical stabilization and burst mode. And then I press it again, and it switches back to sensor-based and single shot. So it's like having an extra function button, and you can do that in the menu also. Now, when I go to movie mode, on the mode dial, then the red button becomes start recording. So it's not like I'm giving it up altogether, only when I'm in still photography. And you can do that with these cameras. You can really make them your own. You just sit down on the couch one night, get out your owner's manual, and just start playing. Just start going through the menus and set things up. There is one catch, if there is a catch, and then we'll move on to the next thing. But the catch is that it's f4 to 5.6. So this is an outdoor lens. And it's an outdoor lens in two ways. One, because of the maximum aperture, it's not that fast. So when I need some fast telephoto indoors, I have my Olympus 60mm f2.8. That's what I'm bringing for, when I need a little bit more speed indoors. But the Panasonic is not fast. And then the other thing is, that seems to go hand in hand with the maximum aperture, is that it doesn't focus fast indoors, where it focuses very quickly outdoors. Again, it's an outdoor lens. It's for vacations and touring and working outside. Fantastic. If I'm going through the streets of Havana, I can really see me having this lens on the camera. It's not for working with existing light indoors, both focusing-wise and maximum aperture. So there you have it. I just want to talk a little bit more about it. $397. I'll have a link in the show notes. And if you're looking for a nice, effective 70 to 200 millimeter lens, you're thinking outdoors and you're thinking compact, I would take a look at this little guy. It is a gem. Story number two, feature story number two. So Leah's back. Leah's back in the studio. I'm just thrilled to have her here again today. And she's going to Mexico. So she's going to tell us a little bit about her planning for that trip. And she has a question around taking care of her camera in that environment. So I'll let Leah ask the question and we'll chat about it. And then we'll come back and do a little bit more reporting here. How are you doing today, Leah?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm excellent. So you're getting ready for a big trip. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Very soon, I'm going to be going to Mexico. And I've never been out of the country, but I know I'm going to see a lot of things I'm going to want to take pictures of. but I have a little question, actually, because I want to travel light and I don't want to call a lot of attention to myself like a big arrow pointing at me saying tourist. So I was wondering, how do you travel light and inconspicuously when you have a really nice camera like I do?
Yeah, and you definitely want to take your camera. You have an Olympus pen and you have some lenses. And so you don't want to go to Mexico and then not have your best camera with you, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a great question, because I think when we're traveling abroad or even in big cities in the U.S., you know, we do want to look inconspicuous. We don't want to draw a lot of attention to ourselves. So the thing that I like to do, I think works well, is I think a shoulder bag for travel. Now, you may not want to use the shoulder bag when you're, you know, going through the airport and everything. You can have a light shoulder bag with you that you just pack in your suitcase and then use it, you know, when you're out and about. But the reason why I like a shoulder bag, especially the messenger style that has the flap come up, because you can have your camera sitting in there with the lens and everything ready to go. And on the shoulder bag, you want it, you know, discreet. Well, I use the Nimble Photographer shoulder bag, but, you know, it just has like a walking man on it. It could be anything.
Yeah.
But something that's nondescript. And then with that flap, you can just pull up the flap, pull out your camera, take a few shots, and then put it back in. And the other thing about a shoulder bag I think is nice is that you can swing it around so you have it in front of you. And when you're in a crowded area, you want to keep that bag close to you and you want to keep it in front where you can keep an eye on it. Because some people are very good at lifting equipment out of a bag that you have on your backside there.
I've heard of that.
Yeah. So you want to swing it around. And then the other thing with a shoulder bag, you want to go cross shoulder, right? Just don't have it hanging off one shoulder, because someone literally can run, grab that bag and run off with it, and it'll come right off your shoulder. Whereas cross shoulder, they'll have to drag you with it.
Yeah.
And in all honesty, they'll see it cross shoulder and they'll be less likely to try to make a grab for it. And then, of course, don't pull your camera out when you're in situations where you're nervous about your surroundings. Just go ahead, keep it in the bag. That's where your street sense will have to come in a bit. So I think if you do that, you know, do you have a shoulder bag you can use right now? Or is that something you can put on your to-do list?
That's a to-do list item.
Okay. And so then once you, I would do that sooner than later and then practice with it, so that it's natural, so that you know how to pull the camera out, put it in, you know, just get comfortable with it. And I think you'll be in good shape.
Okay.
Well, good. Now, you're going to tell us about the pictures when you get back?
Oh, for sure.
All right.
For sure.
All right, good. So anyway, you know, just to wrap up, shoulder bags work great, messenger flaps, keep them close to your body, and, you know, just keep an eye on your surroundings. You'll be great.
Okay, thank you.
All right, good luck in Mexico.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks again, Leah. I just love having her on the show, and we're going to be doing more of this. Why? Because it's fun. I like doing it. Okay, let's go on to the next story. So I want to talk about CT Digital Photography Magazine, because they're having a holiday special right now. And as you may know, if you listen to the show, I'm an associate editor for them. So I do quite a bit of work for them, quite a bit of writing. I think it's the best in-depth photography magazine in North America right now. I don't think anyone else touches what they do in terms of drilling down into a subject, whether it's a lens review, whether it's a technique. No matter what, you're going to get 10, 12 pages on the subject. And if you really want to understand it, if you really want to know it from all the angles, that's what these guys do, and they do it well. They have a terrific group of editors over there in Hanover, Germany. And they get it done. So right now, for those of us in North America, there's a special. It's a holiday special, and basically it's a 2-for-1. You can either give 2 gifts to 2 different people of this magazine. That's 4 of these issues a year for the price of 1. And in addition to that, you get an ebook, Chapter 1, From the Essence of Photography by Bruce Barnum, brand new book. So you also get a nice little goodie too. Or if you haven't signed up yet, if you're not getting the magazine, then you can keep 1 for yourself and give a subscription to somebody else. Either way. Now, there's a special link to do this. and the link's in the show notes. It'll take you over there. You can choose the options that you want. You can choose, you know, either sharing both subscriptions to two different people, and you can fill that out, or you can do one person and one for you. And the whole kit and caboodle's $49. And I tell you, it's basically like getting four photography books. That's the way that feels. Very little advertising, very dense, very interesting. I mean, like I said, it's a terrific gift. That's going on right now through the end of the month. It's the holiday special. The link is in the show notes. It's a CT Digital Photography Magazine 2-for-1 holiday special. They only do this once a year, and that is right now. Before we get to Virtual Camera Club news, I just want to mention that the San Francisco Street Photography Workshop that's coming up in April 2015 on the 24th through the 26th in San Francisco, of course, I have 2 seats open. So I can announce that now because all the notifications went out to people on the reserve list. Everyone on the reserve list now has had a few weeks to sign up. We've had a number of signups, but I still have 2 seats open. So now I'm going to open up to, the general public. We've got the same cool hotel. We got the same cool meeting room. We're going to be right in the heart of San Francisco. We're going to do more night shooting this year. It's going to be such a good time. So anyway, April 24th through 26th in San Francisco, you can go to the workshops page on the Digital Story, thedigitalstory.com. Just click on workshops. Just go down to send me info, choose the street workshop. You do that, and I'll send you a reservation form, and you can take a look at all the details. All right, let's do a little Virtual Camera Club news. Photo assignment for December 2014 is Frozen. Yes, Frozen. Seems apropos for those of us here in North America. And one of those images will be selected as the Sizzle Picks pick of the month. And that person will receive a free Sizzle Picks of their winning entry. And that is really nice too. I don't know how backed up they are right now at Sizzle Picks, but I'm bringing this up because if you did want to give a Sizzle Picks for a gift, I'm pretty sure there's still time to turn that around. And all you got to do is go to sizzlepix.com, sizzlpix.com, or click on any of the tiles that's on the Digital Story and place your order. And, you know, the thing is, it's an image that will have meaning to the recipient one way or another. And then they're going to see it in this fantastic display that they may or may not have seen before on this polished aluminum with the wall mount that's all ready to go. I mean, you literally lift it out of the box, put a nail in the wall, hang it, you're done in like a minute. It's really that easy. SIZZLPIX.com. It's like a retina display you can hang on the wall. And I think there's still time to give the gift of Sizzle Picks to someone very special in your life. And finally, Red River Paper. And there, I've got a printing day coming up, and I do this every year, and I combine a number of things. I print some handmade cards using a Red River cardstock, you know, the kind that folds with the score and the nice envelopes. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I'm going to do some of that. I'm going to make a couple prints as gifts, and then I'm going to do my year-end where I pick 6 images that I want to archive. 6 images of mine that I want to archive, and I'm going to print those too. And I can get all that done in a day, whether I do it on a rainy weekend day or I just decide to play hooky from regular work. And all of that is going to go on Red River Paper because they have the stocks that cover all those needs. They have an amazing catalog of card stocks and envelopes to go with it for your fine art cards. They have all the big sizes for, you know, the 13 inch by 19 inch. And of course they have bigger too, but my printer only goes up to 13 by 19 for doing your end of year archive. And then they have all those nice little sizes like 11 by 14 and 8.5 by 11 for printing gifts and goodies for those you care about. And they turn around very quickly too. So there's still time for you to get the materials that you need to put together some beautiful handmade gifts. Show your artistry to those that you care about and love. And the best way to do it is to put it on Red River paper. They have a tile, all the pages of the digital story. And they have a beautiful Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. All right. I think that's going to do it for today. I think we covered a lot of ground, did we not? I hope you're enjoying the feature with Leah. I've got a ton of stuff that we're working on for next week, and Leah's going to come back in the studio. So make sure you come back next week. Until then, have a fantastic few days as photographer at large in this big, beautiful world. And I'll see you next time. Bye-bye now.